You don't talk like that, she said. Never. Louise, Miss Emma called to her. Louise. I didn't raise you that way, my aunt said, coming toward me. Louise, please, Lord, don't. Miss Emma pushed up from her chair. My aunt stopped a step or two away from me, though it was clear she wanted to slap me. We have to get something straight around here, I said. And right now, I don't know a thing about God or sin. What I do know is, my Lord, the minister said, looking at me as if I were the devil himself. Listen to the teacher of our children. Last Friday, I continued, was the first time, the very first time that Jefferson looked at me without hate, without accusing me of putting him in that cell. Last Friday was the first time he ever asked me a question or answered me without accusing me for his condition. I don't know if you all know what I'm talking about. It seems you don't. But I found a way to reach him for the first time. Now he needs that radio, and he wants it. He wants something of his own before he dies. He wants a gallon of ice cream for his last supper. Did he tell you that? Did he tell you he never had enough ice cream? Did he tell you that he never had a radio of his own before? Did he tell you any of this? He wants those things before he dies. He has only a month to live, and all I'm trying to do is make it as comfortable as I can for him. And after that radio and that ice cream, how about his soul, mister? My aunt asked me. I don't know a thing about the soul, I said. Yes, you do, she said. She tightened her mouth. She wanted to cry, and she wanted to slap me. Not only for this moment, but for all those years that I had refused to go to her church. Yes, you do, she said, shaking her head, 'cause I raised you better. And you sent me to him, Tant Lou, I said, and I'm only trying to reach him the best way I can. Turning him against God? Tant Lou, that radio has nothing to do with turning Jefferson against God, I said. That radio is there to help him not think about death. He's locked up in that cage like an animal. And what else can he think about but that last day and that last hour? That radio makes it less painful. Now, if you all want that radio out of there, you just go on and take it from him. But I won't go back up there anymore.
We got to have it your way or else that's it?
Reverend Ambrose cut in. No, I said. You can have it your way. You could take it from him. But you won't reach him if you do. The only thing that keeps him from thinking he is not a hog is that radio. Take that radio away and let's see what you can do for the soul of a hog.
Then I'm the one that's not needed, the minister said.
No, Miss Emma said. You have to go, Reverend Ambrose. I'll make him see.
You saw today how he was, the minister said. He can't hear me through that wall of sin.
I'll make him see, Miss Emma said. He needs you. Maybe he don't know it yet, but he needs you.
Maybe you don't know it yet either, Grant.
All I know, Miss Emma, is that last Friday was the first time I reached him, I said. It was the first time he didn't call himself a hog.
And that whole gallon of ice cream, the minister said. You sure you reached him?
I didn't know how to answer that.
Well, Mr. Teacher, Reverend Ambrose said, I'm waiting for your answer.
My aunt and Miss Emma were also waiting. I went back to see Jefferson again on Wednesday. On Tuesday, I had asked the children at the school to bring large pecans and roasted peanuts for me to take to him. Some brought pecans in paper bags, some brought them in little flour and rice sacks, others brought them in their pockets. There were about 25 pounds of pecans, about half that many pounds of roasted peanuts. I took a few pounds of each and left the rest to be distributed among the children after school. In Bayonne, I bought a half dozen apples, some candy, and 2 or 3 comic books.